You're 100% right. Why do I have to tip the waitress? I paid. What do you mean? Why do I have to tip the waitress?
Not everybody gets minimum.
It's not my problem. So pay your waitress. You got to get the food to my table. You know what? I'd rather, instead of tipping the waitress, I'll come into the kitchen and get my own steak off the grill. Right? I don't want to tip the waitress. I'll come get my own steak off the grill. You know, because at the end of the night, $100 bill, you're talking, you know, 20%. It's 20 bucks. Right? And if you have a whole big dinner and you're taking out an office or something like that, and it's a $500 bill, 20% is a lot of money. Right? It's 100 bucks. I got to give the waitress 100 bucks to bring the food to me? So, that's what this guy felt. What does that mean? You're right. Maybe you're right. But the bottom line is, this waitress, for whatever reason, is getting minimum wage. And that's the way it works in the field of food. She's getting minimum wage. Her panasa, when she took this job, her panasa, her living, is on tips. So even if you're right, you're hurting this girl. You're right. You want to change the whole world with tips? So open a restaurant, you don't have to tip. But lemaisa, you're hurting this girl. At the end of the night, you're right, but she's not getting money. So you're walking out, you're right, and she has no money. So therefore, a guy that has a midah like that, what happens? What happens? What happens is this big word, and I hear it a lot of times, it's your job. It's your job, right? I went to Kosher Delight with my class many years ago, and they had their burgers and their french fries, and it's all over the tables. Remember Mizrahi? All over the tables. So I finish my burger, my stuff, whatever it is, I bench, and I take my tray with my garbage, and I dump it in the garbage. And all the kids, they're like, okay, Rebbe, let's get into the van. I'm like, no. Everybody clean your tables. And they're like, there's a black guy over there. They hired him for that. He goes around, he cleans the tables. It's his job. Why do I got to clean up? It's his job. I said, it's your garbage. It's his job because people have no manners. Because really, when you get off the table at home, right? So what happens? It's the same thing with cleaning ladies. And I spoke to the women about this today. We treat our cleaning ladies like they're animals, right? You leave your clothing all over the place, right? Nobody ever says thank you to them. Why? Because it's their job. So the kids think, what do you mean make my bed? Are you crazy, make my bed? It's the cleaning lady gets paid for that. Why do I have to make my bed, right? And the guy gets paid to pay in New Jersey to pump the gas. Why do I have to say thank you? There used to be a thing, you may not believe this, there used to be a thing when I was growing up, you actually tipped the guy who pumped your gas. Yeah. That's right. Right? You do?
I give $1 on the turnpike.
So they must be freaked out. They're not used to that. They're like, you want me to get you a Coke? They're like, you want me to get a Coke? What are you giving me this for? You know? Right. So what happens? So I said to these parents today, I said to these women, I said, so what happens? So your kid watches how you treat the maid. Right? It's her job. The dishes are her job. This is her job. Everything is her job. So then the kid turns to his mother, and I hear this all the time, and the mother says, I don't understand. Where's your appreciation? I cook for you. I clean for you. I drive you to school. And now you act like this? And the kid says, you gave birth to me, Ma. It's your job. Where'd that come from? Where'd it come from that it's your job? I said, it came from you, ladies. Because everyone else, it's their job. So you know what, Mom, it's your job. And you know where it goes to? It goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I say to kids, how could you treat God like this? He gives you everything. He gives you water and food and eyesight and hearing and smelling and everything. How do you treat Hashem like this? You know what they answer me? What do you mean? He brought me into this world. It's his job. It's God's job to give me eyes and ears and everything. So this is the generation where everything is coming to you. The only person, I thought it was a great line today. The only person in this world that doesn't have a job is every person. Every person says, cleaning, that's your job. My wife, that's the cooking, that's her job. Support, my father-in-law's job. My father's job. Everyone has a job. And I'm like, what about you? My job is to take from everyone. That's my job. Everyone else has a job, right? Wherever you go, that's it. That's his job. You take clothing when you go shopping, or you go to the store, right? You go to the store and you pick up something and you go up to the cash register and you decide you don't want it. So you put it down and you're like, the cashier will bring it back. When is she going to bring it back? When she finishes the job and she closes the cashier and she should go bring it back. You took it. Why did you have to bring it back? Or I see all the guys, girls don't do this a lot, but guys do that when they're going down like 3 aisles away from where they picked up the stuff and they change their mind. They just stick it on any, you know, cabinet. You all of a sudden you have chocolate milk, you know, like powder, chocolate powder in the middle of the vegetable section. I'm like, the guy just put it down there, right? He knows. He works in a store. Why? Why? Because that's what they get paid to do. Once you get that mentality, right? So everybody has a job. You don't have to do anything. So then when you get married, right? So we don't understand why there's no shalom bias, because the husband sits there and he's like, that's her job. Her job is everything. Cleaning, cooking, making me happy, you know? I make a living. That's my job. Even if you're not doing it well. But that's my job. Everything else is her job. So when it starts becoming jobs, there's no hakara satov, because if it's your job, I'm not going to thank you for doing your job. Which, by the way, is very wrong. Which, by the way, is very, very wrong. Not to thank someone who is doing their job.
If the waitress does a bad job, then you don't tip her then, right?
No, you have to tip her anyway. Absolutely. You don't have to give her 20%, but you have to tip her. Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. No. It's 15, 18, or 20. Don't worry about them, okay? Trust me, they won't be without a job. They have to mop the floor. They have other things to clean. The guy in Kosher has to mop the floor. Don't worry about it. So let me tell you a proof to what I'm saying. So you asked a very good question. I like your question. Your question is, she spilled the soup on my pants. She's miserable, right? Why do I have to tip her? Not for her. For you. What do I mean? So as we go further in the Torah, right, we see Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu, could you ask maybe to turn the air conditioner would help. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, do not hit the water. You cannot hit the water, let Aaron hit the water. Why couldn't Moshe hit the water, guys? Moshe couldn't hit the water because the water saved him. The water did not save him. If they would have put me in that basket, the water would have saved me also. What do I mean? The basket, no, I don't need a chair,
No, I'm saying I'll put the door open, it's air conditioning.
No, but they could turn it on in here.
Oh.
They could turn it on.
The door, the air conditioning.
Yeah? Okay, fine, but they could turn it on in here. So the question is like this, one second. The basket was waterproof. It was made out of reeds. It was tarred. So any one of us as a baby would have been put in that basket, we also would have been saved. The water didn't split. The water didn't do any miracles. The water acted the way water acts. That's all it did. So the ground, I understand he couldn't hit. The ground made a miracle. It opened up. It swallowed the mitzri, right? So that was a big miracle. But the water did nothing. It didn't split. It didn't do anything for him. It just stayed water. So Hashem said, you cannot hit the water. Number one, the water did nothing for me. It would have done it for anybody else. Number two, water has no feelings. So the whole thing sounds like a lot of nonsense. You hit water? So you mean when I go in the bathtub and I'm splashing, I'm hurting the water? Come on, water has no feelings. So you're telling me not to hit the water, something that has no feelings, and you're telling me the water did something for me, water didn't do anything for me. So why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu hit the water? The answer is for himself. The water has no feelings. You can hit water all day, it doesn't feel it. And the water didn't do anything special for him. It would have done it for me also. But at the end of the day, were you in a boat in the water? Were you saved by the water? Therefore, if you're going to hit something that saved you, even though it has no feelings, you are going to become a different person because you are showing a lack of appreciation. So, the waitress is miserable. She did a lousy job. But if you don't tip her, right, you are becoming an unappreciative for whatever she did. I'm sure she served, she got it to the table, something, right? So it's changing you. And guess what? The next time you have a waitress, you're already going to be judging, right? If she's not perfect, I'm not going to tip her. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have a perfect waitress, and you're not going to tip her at all. Because it's a slow breakdown when it comes to appreciation. And in our door, the appreciation doesn't exist. Nobody appreciates anybody to do anything. Just the opposite. No matter what you do, and it's your job, they want you to do more. And they want you to do more. And there's no thank yous. I say thank you is a bigger word than love you. It's a much bigger word. Anyone can say I love you. Thank you. Thank you means that I appreciate what you did for me. Love you doesn't mean I appreciate what you did for me. Right? Kids tell their parents I love you and they hate it. One kid said to me, I love my parents, but I don't like them. I've heard that about husband and wife, Nebuch too. I love my wife, but I don't like her. So it means I'm married to her, therefore I have to love her. And to my parents, that's why I have to love them. But I don't like them. When you say thank you to somebody and you show them appreciation, that's a whole different connection. It's called hachna. What do I mean by that? I can love something that's equal to me. You're me, I love you, we're equal. When I say thank you to you, that means I owe you something. So that's a little hachna, that's a little in myself bending down. A master doesn't say thank you to a slave. Did they thank you to a slave? He's lucky he didn't beat him. The master feels he's way above a slave. When you say thank you to a waitress, when you say thank you to a guy who's pumping your gas, when you say thank you to somebody, you're saying that for that moment, I owe you something. Now, a person who's a big shot doesn't think he owns anybody anything. So at the same time, when you tell someone thank you, there's a little hachna, there's a little like, you know, you tell someone brings you water and you say thank you, that means like, wow, you did something for me. If I admit that you did something for me, that takes me down a little bit. A big shot doesn't ever think anyone has to do anything. You owe it to me. You don't say thank you to someone who owes you something. If you owe me $20 and you give it back to me, have a nice day. Today you say thank you because you usually don't get it back. But normally, right? But if you give me a penny or a quarter, put it in the bubblegum machine, thank you very much. You gave me something, you know, that I didn't have. I needed your quarter. I needed you.
People say sarcastically too sometimes.
That's not thank you. I'm talking about, you know, people say I love you also, like, you know, I love you to death. But they mean I love you to death. You know what I mean? I can't wait till you die. It depends how you say I love you. But we're talking about the real word, you know, of I love you and the real word of thank you. Now, what does it have to do with anything? Okay.
Could it be that the guy on the date didn't have enough money to spend on the trip? He has to rent a car.
He had a two-door Lexus. I wish it was true, but he drove a two-door Lexus. One of the reasons she liked him. But he had no sensitivities, and I told her. And when I broke it, I broke the shidduch. And her friend said, "Hey, Wallstein, how could you break a zivug?" They're all upset. "How could you break a zivug, Rabbi Wallstein? Don't you know the responsibility in Shemayim? You broke a zivug over a tip." They were upset. The guy had a two-door Lexus. Come on, right? I said, "Listen, I'll tell you the truth. You may be right. It might have been her zivug. But I have to deal with every girl and every boy like they're my child. My daughter came home and told me that she went out and a waitress brought two sodas and the guy she went out with said, no, I'm not tipping this waitress. My daughter's not going out with him again. In fact, if she marries him, I'm not going to that wedding. I don't want anything to do with such a person. There's no growth in that person. That person's going nowhere. Because you're going to be his slave and he's going to expect everything from you and you're going to be abused." So I said, as far as I'm concerned, after 120 years, I have to tell God, I treated this girl like my daughter. I made a mistake. Sorry, I make mistakes with my own kids. But I would never allow a person who doesn't have a curse, doesn't have appreciation. It is the worst midah. You are not a person. You are afar. You are dirt. You are not growing. You are nothing. And that's what Hashem told Adam. You are nothing. I created you out of a dhamma. You had such potential. You went and threw this back in my face. You're unappreciative. You're zero. You're nothing. Now, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with last week's parsha? Listen carefully. Amazing. By the way, this week's parsha, very interesting. Just on Pinchas, you can say something over on Pinchas, which maybe we'll talk about next week in Mitzvah Hashem. But if you look at the end of Balak, last week in parsha's Balak, so it says, so you know that the Zimri was messing around. And he was making a Bichil Hashem with Cosby, Bas Tzur. Pinchas went, he took a spear, and he threw it through both of them, and he killed them. He actually picked up the spear, and they were on top. And it says the following. And last week, when he saw this, Pinei Ishmi B'nei Yisrael Ba, a Jew from the Bnei Israel came, Yaakov el Echavas HaMidyanis L'Enei Moshe, and he had relations with this Midyanis, this girl in front of Moshe L'Enei Kodas B'Yisrael, V'Hema Beichim, Moshe Rabbeinu was crying with Aaron HaKohen. You never see this in the Torah, you never see that word. Never see the word crying in the whole Torah. Just the opposite. When he lost his two sons, he said, V'Yidom Aaron. He didn't cry. Here it says they were crying. V'Hema Beichim. Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu were crying. Pesach HaOmoed, at the Pesach HaOmoed, because this guy did such a sin, and they couldn't react. They forgot. Hashem made it that they should forget what the halacha is, that Kanoi Pagimboy, that a Kanoi is allowed to take revenge. What happened? V'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And a Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen saw this. Now listen to this word. V'yakom mitecha eda. And he got up from amongst the nation. V'yikach remach biyado. And he took a spear in his hand. Pshatim say, Ramach Evarim. Roimach spells Ramach. He took his 248 Evarim. He took his whole life in danger in his hands. And he stabbed the two of them in their innards and he killed them. So why does it have to say, first of all, that he got up from the middle of the Jewish nation? And why does it have to say, that he took the spear in his hands? It should just say, right? He went after the Jew and he threw his spear into their innards and he pierced both of them. Why does it have to tell us, why does it have to tell us that? Unbelievable pshat. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Olav Shalom. Rav Moshe says, when you read this story, it's like, this guy's a kanoi, he's one of those mushugom and shul that walks around, shh, shh, new, shh, shh. You know, one of those guys, he's always looking for guys who are, you know, where are your socks? Why are you wearing sandals? You know, your phone goes off. Get out of shul, this guy, hey, we're kanon. You know, they walk around, they're gonna hang you. So when you read the story of Pinchas, you think, Pinchas, ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, you know, he was the tznius. No, the tznius committee, you know, looking, any Jew would do something wrong, kill him right away. Says the Torah wrong. Vayakam mitoicha eda. He wasn't looking to hurt nobody. He wasn't walking around looking to take revenge for God, to be God's avenger. He was with the rest of the Jews. He was with everybody. He wasn't looking to hurt anybody. And he had to go and get the romach, the spear, and put it in his hand. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. He didn't have the spear in his hand, boys. There's a kanoi and there's a kanoi. The wrong kanoi is the guy who walks around and he has a spear in his hand the whole time. And he's like, all right, let's see who's talking by davening. Come on, let's see who's messing around. He's got the spear and he's looking for someone to spear. He says that's a Russia. That's not a person who's a kanoi. Don't even call him a kanoi. He says, V'yikach roimach biyadai. He didn't have nothing in his hand. He had to go say, oh my goodness, look what's going on here. He had to run and get his spear. He wasn't running around with his spear. He wasn't running around looking to hurt anybody. When he saw what this guy was doing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw Moshe and Aaron crying, and he saw this Chilul Hashem, he went to find his spear. Not that he was running around with a spear, because that's not a real kanoi. So the guy that walks around shul looking for guys who are talking, forget it. It's a faker. It's not real. Something's wrong. The guy that's in shul and he's not looking for anything, he's trying to daven, and you're standing next to him and you're talking, and he tells you to be quiet. That's the real one. He's not walking around looking for you, but if you're disturbing him, you're disturbing him. So he says that's why the Torah tells us, but you could be quite toicha eda. He wasn't some Jewish zealot running around looking for trouble. He was with toicha eda. He was with everybody else, and he didn't have a spear in his hand. He saw this. He had to go get the spear. That's who Pinchas was. And therefore, Hashem's reward for Pinchas was a bris shalom, was a bris of peace. This was not a warrior. This was not a killer. This was not a guy that was vicious. He was a kohen. He became a kohen. He was a person, mitoicha eda. Wasn't looking for trouble. Because some guy said, I'm the new Pinchas. You know, close it down. Close the shul down. I'm the new Pinchas. No, Pinchas was not looking for trouble. That's on Pashas Pinchas. But I want to go back to Balak for a minute. And I spoke about this last week, but I wasn't here last week. And this is amazing. So there's a donkey, right, in last week's parsha. Now, most people don't know last week's parsha because these are Nebuch, we call them the parshas Yesaimis, the orphan parshas. Why? Because these are the parshas of the summer, and yeshiva's always closed since you're a little kid, right, from July to September. So the parshas from July to September, nobody knows. Because no one goes to yeshiva during those months. Nobody knows, Balak. We call them parshas Yesaimis, right? Chukas Balak, Koirach, Chukas Balak, Pinchas, Matas, and Masa. Who knows Matas, and Masa? Who knows, right? So, this whole story with the donkey, everyone knows, yeah, donkey, you talk, yeah, okay. You know, it's very cool. So we know that the Mishnah says that the mouth of the donkey was created ben Hashmashes Erev Shabbos. 10 things were created, 10 things that the world needed. So now, when I looked at that Mishnah, I'm like, if a donkey's going to talk, if Hashem made a miracle that a donkey's going to talk, it's going to say something smart. Maybe when Mashiach's going to come. Right? Anything else a human being could say. A donkey's going to talk? What did this donkey say? It was so important, boys, that God had to create this donkey specially, Bein Hashmashes Erev Shabbos, to talk in our Torah. It's in our Torah, this story. It's not a story in Grimm's fairy tales. Right? It's not a Dr. Seuss, the donkey talked. Right? So we have to concentrate. When you hear that a donkey talked in the Bible, you have to concentrate on what that donkey said. Because if Hashem had to make a miracle, it seems to me that this donkey is going to say something that people don't say. So let's look at this story. So we know, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. So we know that 3 times the donkey saw a malach standing in front with a sword. So 3 times he went off to the side. And each time he went, one time Bilam got scratched in a bunch of thorns. Next time he squashed his foot really bad against a wall, right? And he was like, Bilam was very angry. And every time his donkey went off the derech, this is the first thing that went off the derech was a donkey, right? Every time the donkey went off the derech, he hit it, and he hit it hard. Okay. Listen carefully. The donkey saw the angel of Hashem, and he crouched, like he dropped. Right? Because he saw the malach. And he became very angry. Vayichar af Bilam, and Bilam became angry. Vayach es ha'asim b'makel. He hit the donkey with a stick. Okay, here we go. The big words we've all been waiting for. God is now going to open the mouth of the donkey. My Rebbe, by the way, when I was in yeshiva, every time I used to say something in class, he would go, Wallenstein, v'tiftach es pi ha'asim. That's what he used to say. I'm still in therapy for it, but I'm going to get over it. Anyway, this is what the donkey says. Yiftach Hashem is piyasan, v'tomel leBilam, and he says to Bilam, Meh asisi lecha. What did I do to you? Kihiki sani zeh shalosh regalim. Why did you hit me these 3 times? That's what Hashem opened the mouth of a donkey, right? So the donkey's asking Bilam, what are you picking on me for? Why did you hit me these 3 times? Now, very important lesson. At this point, the Torah should have said, Bilam should have gone, whoa, my donkey's talking. Because never, ever, since the creation of the world, did a donkey talk. And Bilam knew, it was a horse. Bilam knew, and he came after him, way after. Bilam knew that he wasn't the magician that made him talk. So he knew it wasn't magic. So at that point, he should have said, Did you just say something to me? He just continues in conversation like nothing happened. Like it's an everyday occurrence. So, he asked him, why'd you hit me 3 times? Vayomer Bilam la'asan. He answers him back. Like if your parakeet started talking to you about what stocks to buy, you're just like, okay, really? You think I should buy that one? Or you'd say like, holy cow, I got a parakeet that knows stocks. Right? You'd be a little bit crazy. You're like, where did I get this from? Let me check it out. Am I taking something? Did I drink? Did I smoke up? What's going on here? My parakeet's talking, right? Nothing. He talks back to him, right? What does he say? Vayomer Bilam la'asan. You want to know why I hit you? Ki yishalad bilu yeshcher b'yadi ki atar hitigu. You want to know why? Because you mocked me. You made a fool out of me. You bumped me into a bunch of walls. If I would have a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. Why didn't Bilam ask the donkey, like, where did you get this magic from that you could talk? And the answer is, we learn a very important lesson, that when someone hurts you, you don't hear or see anything. You don't hear or see anything. He got hurt by the donkey. Now all of a sudden the donkey's talking to him. He doesn't think about it. It's a donkey that's talking to me. You hurt me! I don't care if you're a donkey that talks. I'm not interested in that part of what's going on. You hurt me! And I should have killed you. Maybe there's a million different things. The reasons why you got hurt. Maybe it wasn't the person's fault. Da, da, da. No, I'm hurt. Doesn't matter. The donkey's talking. The wall's talking. The lights are talking. Doesn't make a difference. I don't care. Right now, I don't care who's talking. Rebbe, don't talk to me. Don't give me this. Don't give me that. I want no therapist. I'm hurt. That's all I care about. So this guy, Bilam, he didn't care. He didn't care. He was hurting. He didn't even ask the donkey. He didn't even ask him. Like, how'd you get to talk? Because he was so full of himself. As many of us are. Vatomer ha'asan el Bilam. So now Bilam told the donkey, I'm angry at you that you made a fool out of me. Vatomer ha'asan el Bilam. Now listen to this answer, and this is it. This is his last line. This is the donkey's last line. After this, he's dead. So he answers Bilam, Vatomer ha'asan el Bilam, aren't I your donkey? Haven't I been a good donkey that you rode on me from the beginning of time until now? Did I ever do anything to you? Did I ever hurt you before? So Bilam goes, Vayomer lo, you never hurt me before. Finished. Donkey's dead. That's why Hashem opened up the mouth of a donkey to have a discussion with Bilam. This is why you opened the mouth of, you made a miracle. The donkey said, why'd you hit me? Bilam said, because you messed around with me, man. The donkey said back, haven't I been a good donkey? Bye. That's why Hashem opened the mouth of a donkey. Why didn't the donkey tell Bilam the truth? The donkey said, why did you hit me? Bilam said, because you made a fool out of me. You kept going on to the side. The donkey should have said, do you know why? Because there's an angel standing in the middle of the road with a sword who wants to kill you. I saved your butt. Isn't that what he did? So what is the donkey giving him a whole story? Haven't I been there for you? You know, all your life. I've been a good donkey. Have I ever hurt you? That's not why you bumped into the walls. You bumped into the walls because there was a malach. In fact, the next pasuk says, Vayigal Hashem es enei Bilam. Hashem, now the donkey's dead, Hashem opened the eyes of Bilam and Bilam saw the malach. Why didn't the donkey tell him why he banged into the walls? What's this whole schmooze about, haven't I been there for you all your life? Neiridik. And the answer is that God felt it's so important, boys, Hakaras HaTov, that to teach us Hakaras HaTov, appreciation, He created the mouth of a donkey that talks. The whole part of the story that the donkey should have said, there was a malach in front of me, that doesn't teach us anything. What the donkey was trying to teach Bilam was the following. Forget the malach. It's not important. You hit me. Instead of trying to figure out and say, if you've always been there for me, then what's going on over here now? Something's wrong. Where, Bilam, was your Hakaras HaTov? Where was your appreciation for all the good times? Why do people always forget the good times? Why do husbands and wives forget the good times? Why do children and parents forget the good times? Why do they always focus on the bad times? Because they don't have appreciation for the good times. They don't have Hakaras HaTov for one another. So the whole speech in the Torah from a donkey was not that there was a malach in the way. The donkey said to Bilam at the end of the day, was I there for you? Did I ever do this? Or if I'm doing it, why are you hitting me? There's a different reason that I did it. Why aren't you focusing on all the good stuff I did for you? Then maybe you're missing something in the picture. So the malach says to Bilam, yeah, a guy like you deserves to die. He says, you should have died, I should have let the donkey live. I was standing in front of your donkey, though, three times. Your donkey that you hit He saved your life. 3 times that donkey saved your life. So I was very excited as a kid when I learned the next pasuk, because I like good endings. Vayomer Bilam Malach Hashem, and the Bilam answered the Malach Hashem, you know what? You got a good point. Chatasi. It's my sin. And I was very happy when I read this pasuk. At least he finally got it, Mizrahi. You know, it's wrong. The donkey's always been there for you, and now he's not there for you. So at least you realize that you're an animal, right? That you hit it like that. But that's not what he says. Bilam says, Chatasi, I've sinned. You know what my sin is? Ki lo yodati ki atah nitzav likrasi baderech. My sin was that my donkey was able to see you and I didn't. Idiot! Your sin was that you didn't have a curse of time. So he says, Chatasi, you know what my sin is? You're such a bal gaiva. Donkey is my sin? That's not my sin, that I hit my donkey? My sin is that my donkey saw you and I didn't. I had a Rosh Hashiva, he's very funny. And he came late to shir. And we said, Rebbe, you're never late for shir. What happened? He said, I got a ticket for going through a red light. I said, Rebbe, you got a ticket for going through a red light. What happened? He says, I'll tell you the story. Went through a red light at Muncie. Police car pulled me over. He said, Rabbi, what's wrong with you? Didn't you see the red light? He said, you know what I answered him? Officer, I saw the red light, but I didn't see you. True story. I'll never forget when he came into class and said it. So here, you have Bilam. He's so full of himself that his sin was, how come I didn't see you? He missed the whole picture. Person who has no appreciation, the guy who doesn't tip the waitress, the guy who doesn't clean up after himself in the kosher delight, the guy who doesn't say thank you to the mailman, or comes to the door and stands at the top of their steps and watches the mail lady or mail person climb up the steps to give them the mail instead of running down to the bottom steps and taking it from her on a 95-degree day. The person who has no appreciation for the garbage man, for everybody else. He just throws the garbage in a bag that he knows is ripped. When the guy's going to pull it out of the garbage, it's going to be all over the place, right? People who have no appreciation, it's all about them. So in the end, what bothered him was he didn't see the malach. He didn't care about that. He didn't care about the piyos on. Appreciation. Hashem created Bein HaShemashes in the mouth of a donkey to scream at every one of us in Parshas Balak. If I've always been there for you, so if I'm not there for you right now, something's going on. Because guess what? In Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, and in life, if you don't have that sense, then you're going to have the same feeling about God. Right? Things go sometimes in our lives not so good. But if you focus on Hashem, it's always there. Everything He does for me is good. And today, if something's not working, maybe it's for my good that I got a flat tire so that something else didn't happen to me. There's a story, I said it many years ago, about this boy who always talked about his father, how great his father is, my father's the greatest guy. And there's this one kid in the class who didn't get along with his father at all. He was very jealous of this boy. And all this boy would talk, my father takes me to the Yankee game, my father takes me to the hockey game, my father, we go surfing, my father, so finally this kid said, you know what, I don't believe a word you're saying. You and your father probably don't get along. I want to come to your house, I want to meet your father. The kid's like, no problem, let's go. It was a hot day, they come home from school, they walk into the kitchen, and There's a big glass of water on the table. So the boy who keeps talking about his father runs to the table, and he's about to take this glass of water. He picks it up, and his father walks into the room. And his father runs over to him, smacks his hand. The glass goes flying against the wall, shatters all over the place. The kid's like, whoa, right? The other kid's like, I knew it. You were making up those stories. Even my father would never do that. And he starts leaving, and the kid's running after him and says, no, it's got to be something. It's not like my father. He never did that before. He's always, we're best friends. He's like, liar! You made up all those stories. And the kid runs back to school and tells everybody that all those stories about this kid's father is a lie. Now let's look at this kid for a minute. There are 3 kids in this story. One kid walks out and says, father's cracked. He's crazy. You know, he lost it. He's abusive. He slapped my hand. I needed a drink. He slapped my hand. That's one kid. Another kid walks out and says, this doesn't make sense. doesn't make sense. My father's always good to me. He goes back into the house. He says, Dad, what's the deal with that? Why'd you do that to me? Father says, oh my God, your mother told me, just told me 2 minutes ago that she left a huge glass of bleach on the table and she was scared you're going to come home and you're going to drink it and there it is in your hand. And I couldn't think, I knew that if I was going to say stop, it's going to be too late. You're going to start drinking it and it would Clorox, it would burn your mouth, it would kill you. So thank God I knocked it over here. He says, see, I knew, Tati. I knew you loved me. But then there's the third kid, boys. Doesn't have to go back and ask Tati. The minute his father hit the glass out of his hand and it went smashing against the wall, he's like, what, Dad? Clorox? Acid? What was it? He knows automatically his father would never knock a glass of water out of his hand. Those are the three levels of emunah in Hashem. The goyim, no matter what we say about our God, the goyim are like, yeah, right. Avinu Malkeinu, the chosen nation, yeah. Holocaust, Spanish Inquisition, Crusades, Israel, everything that you guys go through. Don't give me your stories. And they'll never believe that Hashem cares about us more than anyone else. Then we have the people who say, I don't understand it. Gamzu l'toyva, it must be for my good. But you know what? Hashem, show me how this is for my good. Like, I don't understand. Show me that, you know. And then if you're lucky enough to see at the end of the story that it's for your good, oh, I knew it was for my good. But that's not what the pasuk is trying to teach us. When the Asan opened his mouth, he said to Bilam, you shouldn't have hit me, you shouldn't have had any questions. I have always been there for you. They were married, actually. I have always been there for you. I have never hurt you, and I've always been there for you. If I'm hurting you now, you shouldn't even ask me, why are you hurting me now? You should automatically know, oh my God, this donkey must be seeing something is bothering him, spooking him, that for my safety, he's moving to the side. And this is the biggest lesson that can be taught to a Jew or to anybody, is that when something happens in your life, if you have to start asking why Hashem did it, then you're not on that level of the kid who understands, God, I came to this world, and he gave me this, and he gave me this, and he gave me this, and he gave me life, and I still have potential to do who knows what and do what. And therefore, if something's going on, my business is not going good, or my shidduch didn't work out, or I don't feel, whatever it is, it's automatically, the Asan is screaming at you, Hashem is screaming at you, I've always been there for you. I've always been there for you. So why all of a sudden you're hitting me, and you're going off the derech, and you're angry, and you're rebelling? I've always been there for you, since you're a little kid. I'm the one who helped you breathe when you're a little kid, right? I can stop. Okay, so I'll tell you two fast stories that happened. That happened this weekend. Talk about the greatness of God. And then this story I'm going to save for next week. This is a great story. I'll save it for next week. Two stories. One thing you need to know, which I heard today, which is absolutely godless. When a person does a sin, when any of us in this room do a sin, sometimes we do a sin over and over and over. Hashem told you not to do it. What are you using to do that sin? What are you using to do that sin? Your hands, your eyes, whatever the sin is. Depending on the sin. It could be your ears, your eyes. One organ of your body, five organs of your body. You're using your life that God gave you to smack him in the head. Right? So what Hashem should say is, I gave you the hands. I gave you the eyes. I gave you the body. You're using it for the wrong thing? When you use it for the wrong thing, I'm taking it back. Who in this room who would have a midah, right? I'm giving you the gold bar and you're banging me over the head with it. So I'm going to take the gold bar back. I'm giving you freedom and you're using that freedom to shoot me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our lives, every time we do a sin, we're using what he gave us to use that body to hurt him. And he doesn't take it away from us anyway. He's koivish. He's koivish. Not his anger. The malachim are screaming. Listen, we're not telling you to be angry, but if you gave this guy life and he's using the life to hurt you, so Hashem, take the life away. What do you have to give him life for if he's hurting you? So every time a person does an aver with an aver, with an organ of his body, God should get rid of that organ of his body. And then Hashem won't have that problem anymore. Because this guy won't be able to do the Avera anymore. Or take the whole guy out of the world. So the biggest chesed that God does is that even when you're doing, you're using his property to hurt him. And he still doesn't take his property back. He gives you a chance to fix it. So that same God who allows you to use your body to sin, to hurt him, that he's so merciful that he doesn't take it away, even though you're using it to hurt him, to shoot arrows at him. Now when something goes wrong, all of a sudden you're kicking him? Like Bilam to the Asan? All of a sudden the whole world is no good? What do you mean? All the averis you did, you used me. You used me to have your pleasures, to do your averis. You used me to do that. So now when something's wrong, you're pointing at me? And you're rebelling against me? I should rebel against you. You already rebelled against me. So I should take your life away. And I don't take your life away. Number one. Crazy story. Happened this Shabbos. I get a call Thursday. We'll end with this. I get a call Thursday. Ooh, told my wife I'd be home 10:30. Okay. I get a call Thursday from a girl, an Israeli girl. There's another Israeli girl here. It's a whole story about Wallerstein. She's in desperate help. Can she meet you? Okay, come with her. She speaks fast every day. I might not understand. Anyway, to make a long story short, this Israeli girl from Ornava, she brings this other girl. She's wearing this weird thing. Looked like an Arab headband, whatever. She's wearing like Arab pants. Like, I'm like, whoa, what is this? So she sits down. She says she was born in Bat Yam in Israel, not religious. And she went through abuse from the age of 8 to the age of 17, 18. Then she went into the street and she met an Arab from Hebron. And she fell in love with him. And she married him. This girl is sitting in front of me. I said, how long are you married to him? 11 years. She's 30. Married to a lowlife, Hebron, Arab, Jew, hater. They hate us more than any Shechem and Hebron. They hate us more than any Arabs in the world. This Jewish blonde girl, so they know she's not an Arab, right? Light eyes, blonde girl, married to a Hebroni Arab, biggest anti-Jews in the world, for 11 years. And she called her sister because this Arab now married another one. That's how they do it. She got to 30. Now they married a little 17, 18-year-old. And they're sending her to the field. Already, she can't walk. Her back is broken because she's been carrying for the last 10 years the water for the village because she's a Jew. So she's already not in good shape. And she called her sister and said, now that he married this other one, I think I might be in a little bit of danger. Yad La'achim came. I think they're called Yad La'achim. They came. They snuck in the middle of Hebron in the middle of the night. These guys, Hashem should reward them. These are all agents from the old days. And they snuck in and they kidnapped her. And they got her out of Hebron. And they put her on a plane and they sent her to America. And she's here for 9 months already. And now she needs help. She has no food. She has nothing. 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 So Rabbi Wallerstein, can you help me? I said, listen, I don't have a place yet. That, you know what? Come for Shabbos. Come for Shabbos to the mountains. So I didn't have room. She went to somebody else. To make a long story short, I have to tell you what she told me. So this Arab in Hebron has been beating her. And every time he's in the right mood, right, he beats her. So she tells me he has a crazy temper. Shocker. He has a crazy temper. So when he beats her, she runs to her room. And when she was a little girl, she got from a grandmother or from someone a little Tehillim. Now, the good things about Israelis are that when they become Bali Tshuva, they already can read Hebrew. So it's great. Americans, you have to get them to read, they know how to read Hebrew. So they can open up Chumash, they can open up a Siddur, they're great, right? So she said she had a Tehillim. And now, just listen to this. Now, she's married to an Arab for 11 years in Hebron, but she has a Tehillim. What does she do? Every time he loses his temper and he beats on her, she runs to her room, she opens up the Tehillim, and she reads certain chapters, she said, and it's Rabbi Wallerstein, it's magic. He calms down. And he forgets why he's angry. She says, and it worked every single time. I come out of my room, he stopped beating me, he was in a good mood. She said, God listened to my prayers. So, I was like, wow. So after I heard the story, I'm walking with my son-in-law, David Aye, that I tell. I'm like, David Aye, look at a Jewish soul. Married to an Arab. Not just an Arab. But an Arab that lives in Hebron. The biggest Jew haters. Nobody forced her to marry an Arab. She did it on her own, right? So she's in the deepest, I don't think you can get more tummy. She's like, in the deepest of the tummy. She's married to one, I think her, the guy and his brother, I don't know exactly what their deal was. I mean, you're talking low lives, low stuff, right? She's in the lowest place on earth. And look at this neshama. She's getting beat up. Where does she go? To a Tehillim. I said, David Aye, look at a Jewish neshama. You could step on it. You could stick it in an Arab tent in the middle of Hebron. And it still davens. And it still takes out a Tehillim. You can't destroy a Jewish soul. So my son-in-law looks at me. He says, Tati, it's a good message, but it's not the message. I'm like, ooh. I said, what's the message? He said, the message is not focused on her. The message is focused on Hashem. Here's a girl who married an Arab, who's living with this Arab for 12 years in the biggest tumma. She's living with an animal, and he's beating her. And she's praying to God that the Arab should stop beating her. God should say, who told you to marry an Arab? You should have married a nice Jewish boy. You marry an Arab in Hebron, this is what you have coming to you. You come to me, you pray to me, I should make a miracle? A miracle? I should go down to this Arab in Hebron and make a miracle? Take away his temper? Make him forget what you did? Change his whole head? Change his whole mind? For you, I should do a miracle? You put yourself in this. You married this. He says, look at the rachamim of God. That a girl in the middle of the deepest sin prays to God. Because she's in this sin, she's getting beat up. And she prays to God, do me a favor. I'm saying to Hillel, you should calm down the animal that I married. Hashem says, you got it. Not once, not twice, not three times. Over and over and over, and every time she asked Hashem to calm down the animal, Hashem calmed down the animal. Said, focus on what Hashem is all about. That when a person in the middle of it, he's doing a sin, and the way he's doing his sin is he's using God's limbs that God gave him and God's life. And God, instead of unplugging that person and saying, I'm not going to help you do this sin, I'm not going to give you life to do this sin, Hashem says, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, I'm going to help you do tshuva. So that's what Hashem says. If you have appreciation, and you appreciate a God that treats you that way, then things will grow. In life, you'll have shalom bayis. You get close to Hashem. You get along with your kids. A person who has appreciation for the good that a person has, in the end, will have appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who has no appreciation, where everyone, it's God's job, you put me here. I don't owe you anything. Mom, you gave birth to me. I don't owe you anything. Dad, who told you to have me? I don't owe you anything. Right? I don't owe my workers anything. I pay you. I don't got to say thank you. I don't have to say a nice word. Tonight I filmed a 2-minute clip with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky at a wedding. I asked him to come upstairs to do a film. A gadol, just to watch a gadol. So Rav Shmuel came upstairs, and you have all these film guys. You know, it's a whole, like a very professional film. He works, and the first thing he does, it's Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and he's in a big rush. He's between the wedding and speaking. Gadol Hadar. He walks over to each guy in the room. Goyim. Hi, how are you? I'm the rabbi. How are you? What's your name? This is what you do? You should have a lot of good luck in this. I didn't do that. I was in the room 10 times before that. I didn't go over to anybody. I don't know these guys. They're a bunch of filmmakers. I don't know who they are. Went over to every single guy. We come downstairs, right? I'm waiting by the door. There's four poor women sitting there. Women, right? Takes that, walks over to each one, gives them a dollar. He's got a lot of dollars. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have to get, right? Appreciation. Appreciation for everything. Don't hold the door for me. Don't wait for me. Appreciation for every single thing. That's a gadol. So of course he's close to Hashem. Because if he appreciates what everyone does, he walks into a room and they're filming and he says, hi, how are you? What's your name? And how are you? And how are you doing? You should have good. He appreciates that they're spending time. Are they getting paid? They're getting paid anyway. Doesn't matter. You're doing it. I appreciate that you did something for me. It's a gadol. It's a person who gets close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we need to work on. If a donkey can give a whole shmooze, I feel like a donkey, right? But a donkey gave a whole shmooze in the Torah, and then he died. That's all he said. He didn't say any big secrets. I saw a malach. He said, I have been there for you forever. Understand that if Hashem knocks it out of your hand, it's not good for you. And that's the real emuna. So my bracha to everybody, the bracha that Pinchas got, which was the bracha that he became Eliyahu HaNavi, and he lived forever. Why did he live forever? Because v'yikach v'yimach v'yada, he took his whole body, he took his 248 avarim, and he put it together, and it says that a person, there are four things in us. There's fire, water, air, and dirt, and earth. When one of those things goes off a little bit, person becomes sick. When all four things are bishalom, they're all the fire in your body, which is your temperature. The earth is which is your skin, right? The water is your blood system and all the liquids that go in your body. And of course, the wind is your breathing. When all four of those systems work together, then a person will live forever. How do you get all those four things to work together? When a person outside is bishalom, when a person is in peace with everything outside his body, then everything inside his body becomes with peace. And therefore, since Pinchas, Ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, brought peace to Klal Yisrael and stopped the Magefa, therefore all the elements in his body had peace with each other, and therefore the Brisi Shalom became Pinchas, who became Eliyahu HaNavi, who lived forever. My bracha to all of you is, you should find outer peace, you should find inner peace, and all of us should live till Mashiach, b'mehirah b'yameinu, amen.